I don't know whether I should say this, but I'm gonna. Journalism sounds cool. It seems like they just lurk about and like
go on fun trips, yeah, like, and then work. Talk to cool people.
Disclaimer, it's not like that.
Hi, I'm Erin Velak, and I've made it my mission to interview the members of the University of Nottingham's student radio station, URN. Join me to uncover how our members got into student radio, what they're listening to in their free time, and their most iconic pieces of clothing that might make you recognise them as you're walking around campus. I want to know who they are when the mics aren't live, so let's find out. This is Off Air with URN. I'm here with Lottie. No idea your last name. So you're just Lottie to me.
Murray.
I did know that. I've seen it written down a million times. You are one of the few people, I think, that does everything in URN.
Yeah, I do.
And it is your sort of, I don't know, claim to fame, maybe.
Yeah.
That you've done it all.
That is and that the northern thing. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people pick up on that.
It is quite easy. And actually, it's, even though we're in the Midlands, you do tend, most people at this uni seem to be from the Midlands or Southern.
Yeah. But it's weird to think that me and Joe Banks live like half an hour away from one another.
Yes.
That is crazy to me.
Yes. He has the most RP accent, to
yeah,
be honest.
He does.
It's just, I don't know what it is.
No.
And we were talking about it yesterday and he was like, I don't know what my accent is. And I was like, I don't know. You kind of sound like me, but also you don't.
No.
Joe Banks is an enigma of himself, to be honest.
Literally.
And eventually I'll get him on the podcast and hopefully we'll unpick it.
Yeah, but that'll need to be like a special episode, I feel like. You've got to save that
like
for
a
like
3-hour deep.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. He's got a lot to unpack, I think.
He does.
Like.
He does. So what are the shows you do currently?
Okay, so I have a daytime show with someone called Haz. I think you know her, right, from the SRAs. So
I met her a few times, yeah.
Yeah, so she's a first year. She's really nice. We gelled really well, which is good.
Were you put together then?
Yeah, we were. Okay. And I was obviously really nervous when I saw that I was with someone, but it worked really well. Like, we did a little meet-up, and I was, again, really nervous because we met in Portland Coffee, but we
that
were
is,
just...
That is what happens, isn't
literally,
it?
Literally, we were just chatting for ages, and it was so natural and really good, and
they worked out really well.
Yeah.
And then I was like, first impressions of each other, and you were like, oh, she's gonna hate me. Yeah. I'm not.
Yeah, I did a bit because I was like, will we have anything in common? Will like the radio show be like natural, or will it be very forced? Like, we have nothing to talk about, but we've made it work, I feel like. And then I was like, you're coming to the SRAs with me. So she came. And that was good. And then, so that's the daytime one. And then I have an After Dark show, which we've kind of sadly like neglected a little bit because it's like fortnightly and we've been like here, there and everywhere. So that's still in the work.
It's a bit difficult when you're not doing it regularly every week. You can't sort of work into your schedule.
Yeah, but again, like, I'm with two co-hosts, so that's Grace and Asha. They're the loveliest girls.
Are they people you knew beforehand?
No, I didn't. Again, I was just placed with them, but Cude's like put us together because she thought our music tastes were very compatible and stuff, which obviously helps. But Asha's a third year, and then Grace is a first year, so it's like a first, second,
you do
third.
One, two, three, yeah.
So we've all got kind of different perspectives on things. That's more like a girls talk kind of thing, so it's like a... It's on a Friday night, 9 till 11, so it's kind of like getting ready to go out kind of vibes.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And then what else I do? I do The Pulse. I'm a host for The Pulse next time.
Are you starting as a host?
Yeah. On Tuesdays. And then I'm also looking at doing a podcast as well.
Fun.
Yeah.
A bit of everything. Yeah. I'm trying to think what you haven't done. Have you done a bit of sport?
No, I haven't. But I'm very... I don't feel like a lot of people know this about me, but I'm very into... I used to play rugby, and I'm, like, quite a big cricket fan as well.
Okay.
My mum used to she works for Yorkshire Bank. She used to randomly get, like, free tickets to, like, Lords and stuff. So we used to, like, meet up with all the, like, England cricket team and have, like, pictures with them and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because my dad's a huge fan. Yeah. He plays and stuff. Not so much anymore. He's kind of retired from it, but not that he was pro, but he played it for like a long time. So yeah.
That's really cool.
So maybe I might get involved in sport.
There is a possibility. It's not like you've been neglecting sports because you don't care.
No, just haven't had a
And I think it's worth mentioning as well, you are a member of Impact.
I am.
As much as you are a Media Zone
I don't know, relative almost.
Yeah.
I feel like the media zone is a family.
Yeah.
You've kind of, you go in and out of a bit of it. Have you done an STV?
We're looking at doing, I think you've probably seen it, about the Queer Day in Sheffield.
Yes.
So that's in the works as well. But I just think it's really good, like, to have, like, all the different kind of perspectives of media. Like, you can kind of make it very much like, I just want to write. But, like, just having that kind of, like, I don't know, skill set in all three areas is really good, and it makes you like figure out what it is you want to do, whether it's media or elsewhere. I think it's
and
really
what
good.
What about media is that you enjoy as well, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I find talking, as I have been talking to everyone, sort of about media and about radio, is everyone's got their own take on it, and everyone's got their own bit of it that they enjoy, the niche that they like. And whether that's directly a radio thing or if that's a wider media thing, like, some people it is just the music, that's what they're here for. And they don't care how they're doing it, but they just want to talk about music. So what's been sort of your calling to media, shall we call it? Is it more a music thing, is it you want to chat, or is it...
I think, like, above all, I'm quite political. Like, I like speaking about politics and kind of like activism and stuff. But, like, again, I've done like music reviews, I've done like a bit of everything, just because, again, like, they all like interlink, like, not in an obvious way, but they do. Like,
they do. It's the same skill set you're using.
Yeah, of course. Like, by writing about music, you can be like, oh, actually, like, that's a good structure for something else and things like that. But yeah.
That's quite nice.
Yeah.
That's quite nice. I don't know this at all. How did you get into radio?
Okay.
You're a second year, and you didn't do it first year, as far as I'm aware.
No, I didn't. I was doing Impact first year, and I don't know whether I should say this, but I'm gonna. There's a definite like impact to your own pipeline.
There has become one.
There
it's
is.
Become a thing.
Like Ben Miller, perfect example. I don't think that's like shady to say. Like, he just kind of migrated into radio, which is cool. It's fine. He was he's still like involved in Impact. He's not like neglected it completely and not involved, don't want anything to do with it. But it was just, I remember when we was covering the elections last year, we was all a bit like, oh my gosh, Ben isn't here with Impact, he's with radio. And like, you could see him like organizing everything.
Yeah, and it was and you were like, how dare he?
I was like, I'm intrigued. And then I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna go along. I didn't actually go to like the, what was it, like the
welcome meeting.
Yeah, I didn't go to that, I couldn't make it. But then I was just like, I went to like the demos and stuff, and I really enjoyed it. And then I was like, right, I'm just gonna
keep going with
see which bit I like. I'll probably end up like kind of getting rid of a few and just focusing on one. But I just think that's like, if anyone's listening in your first year, I think it's a good approach to just get involved in as many areas as you can and kind of see which one you like. There's nothing wrong with it. Like,
that's what I kind of did. My first year perspective was get involved in everything and then cut down to what I actually felt like I wanted to do, because I've always had like lots of random interests or been like, oh, that looks fun to try. And if it's fit into the schedule, then I've tried to make it work. But I've definitely through the years cut down on the societies and things. I'm like, I don't have time for that, because, but also I don't have the energy for it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, see where you put your interest. Did you join university knowing that you wanted to be involved in student media?
No, I didn't. I kind of like, I feel like everyone kind of says it like, oh, journalism sounds cool, it seems like they just like flirt about and like go on like
go on fun trips, yeah, like, and then work, talk to cool people.
But it's like, disclaimer, it's not like that.
It's not that, is it?
No. But yeah, I kind of like, I've always been very creative. I did like photography and stuff a lot in like my younger educational years. And then I was like, not to slander anyone that goes into that kind of thing, but I just felt like for me, I couldn't really make a career out of it or anything, because
I think it's quite
tough. It's really tough. You have to be like the top of your game. And like, arguably you kind of do with media, but you can make it work without being like the best of the best. But with like artistic things like that. And then my mum kind of mentioned it to me, was like, oh, like, you're creative, but not like, you can't draw. So like,
that's always been my problem. It's like, love being creative, but terrible at art. like average at music, like creating things, I've always been like, fine.
Yeah, literally. And I was like, definitely don't want to do a corporate job. So like, how can I like explore this in a different way? So I was like, media.
Fair enough. And I haven't, and I've refrained from asking anyone this type of question about the future, because I know it's a scary question to be like, where you think you're going to end up. But do you think politics currently is your, I guess, pipeline that you're following?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I don't actually think I want to go into journalism. I don't think I'm going to set that kind of goal for myself, because I just think it's quite like, it contains you quite a bit. Like, I don't know, kind of, I guess if it works out, then yes, I'm not going to turn it down.
If ITV call you and say, hey, Lottie, we want you on the news at whatever time, at 5, 6, I don't remember what time the news is on. It's always on. You're not going to say no, are you?
No, exactly. But I just, I don't know. I think I want to be a bit more like implementing policy and things like that.
Go into the more practical side.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah, like maybe research or something.
Yeah. What is your degree? I actually don't know this.
My degree is religion and theology.
I did know that. Yeah. I've spoken to you about this before. Yeah. So how did you pick that going into uni? Because obviously politics now, you're saying, is a very big interest of yours. Yeah. Did you know that from being like doing A-levels and stuff, that politics was the interest? Or was it always, you found religion to be your passion, I guess?
Yeah, well, I think a bit of both, kind of. Well, it's interesting because I actually originally applied for a politics degree, and I was going to go to Belfast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Yeah. Like, that was my firm choice. I got in, I was ready to go. My mum was, she didn't say it at the time, but she was like, oh my gosh, like, you're leaving me that far. But I was like, yeah, I'm going, I'm packing my bags, I'm going to Belfast. Like, this is my plan, this is what I want to do. And then at the last minute on results day, I was like, not a chance.
Really?
Yeah. But the degree I applied for was philosophy and politics. So okay, it was like, so still quite like philosophical, obviously. But yeah, like, I did politics and religion at A level. And like, I loved them both equally. But the one thing that put me off about politics was when we got into like the, this is your forte, economical stuff. I could not do it.
I could not.
It's horrible. And it was like global economics, politics. I was like, absolutely not.
No. Do you prefer then like the big ideas?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Whereas I struggle with the big ideas.
Oh, okay.
And I want the what's happened.
Are you like mathematical then? Are you into that?
As much as I would say no, yes. As much as I struggle with maths and I struggle with statistics, it's the bit I love. Mm-hmm. Weirdly, it's the bit I actually find really interesting. Not doing the maths, but what the maths says. I don't like doing the data analysis.
No.
But I like reading about the data analysis someone else has done.
So you don't like ambiguities, you just want to like answer there and...
Maybe. I do quite like a discussion of sort of, I don't know, I guess theories.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the... Okay, this is a discussion of theories. This is the evidence. We tried this one. It worked. It didn't work. Why? I like more that sort of taking the theories, putting it into practice and finding what's actually happened, rather than, I guess, keeping it all quite theoretical. Because weirdly, maths can be quite theoretical and it drives me insane. It's when I'm doing maths and there are no numbers involved and yet you still have to find answers.
Yeah, the symbols and things as well.
I live my life on those symbols. The Greek alphabet and I are tight.
Love the Greek alphabet.
It's all just like alpha, mu, gamma, and I'm like,
you should on your phone put like the Greek alphabet instead of the actual one and just be like, this is what I'm trying to say to you. Work it out.
You know, if you did maths, you would know about this. No, I actually actively stay away from the maths modules and anything that gets too much like that, but a little bit of it I don't mind, and I have to do a bit of it. Dissertation is that. Anyway, we're not talking about my dissertation. This is not supposed to be a stressful thing. It's supposed to be nice. Then my next line of questioning. What would you say you listen to in your free time? Are you a big music listener? Because you do music, but you also say you're quite interested in politics, like the more, I guess, talking side of radio. Mm-hmm. Do you tend to listen to a lot of podcasts, or are you more of a music listener in your day-to-day life?
I think it depends on the mood. I love a podcast. I love quite light-hearted podcast, like, do you know like Sophia and Chintzia? No.
The names ring a bell.
The Girls' Bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't listened to the podcast, but I their clips come up on my TikTok all the time, and I watch the whole thing and go, I should listen to that podcast, and never do.
It's very much like, oh my gosh, my boyfriend cheated on me. What do I do? Like, it's dilemmas.
Yes.
But it's like, it's so entertaining.
I love them. There's one I've been listening to recently called Everybody's Got a Secret, or Everyone Has a Secret. It's called something like that. And these Australian women.
Okay.
And they're going through those sort of, everyone's got a secret, but I love it because they speak to the person whose secret it is. It's not like they found it on Reddit, as much as I love that content as well. And then they'll tell the others, because there'll be like three of them. It'll be one person like learns the secret off this person,
mm-hmm.
tells the others, and then they'll discuss it for like 20 minutes. And then she'll go, I haven't told you yet, but there's a twist.
Ooh.
Every episode, they do the same thing and there's a twist. And they'll be like, I was on the phone with Mark from this story or whoever it is, and then they you hear them slide a piece of paper over to the guests and it says like secret on it, and they flip it over and it'll be like, turns out Mark and Sylvia are related, and it'll be like,
sounds to me like Catfish. You ever seen that, like the structure of Catfish?
I did love it, and it's very much that type of like dilemma thing, but because they talk to the person they get a bit more perspective about it, and they pretend that the twist isn't coming every time. And I've listened to every episode they've done. There is always a twist.
That sounds good, though.
I really recommend it. It's been my past few days of my week, honestly.
It's definitely like a form of escapism, isn't it? It's
yeah.
Like, let me just move away from my problems and listen to everyone else's problems.
And I will judge them in my head.
Yeah.
So you like the lighthearted podcast?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I love Emma Chamberlain's podcast. Yes. I love her. She's fallen a bit off the face of the earth, but like,
you know, fair enough.
And then obviously music. I listen to music all the time.
Do you find you listen to music now with the goal of picking songs for your After Dark show, or is it more you're listening to music anyway and then you'll be like, oh, that sounds, I should play this song?
Yeah, I think the second one. I think it's more like, oh, that sounds like it could kind of fit the vibe of the show.
Yeah, and go from there.
But my music taste is very like all over the place. Like, if you ask me, I could not tell you what it is. Like, my After Dark show is an R&B show, but I also love like indie alternative kind of music.
Yeah.
I hate drum and bass though.
Drum and bass.
I have an active hatred.
I did see there was sound. A physical reaction. Your body went, no.
It's just sound. Like, and like when they play it in the club and stuff, I'm just like, how are we dancing to this? Like, are we just like doing a little bit of a like shoulder move or like just what like is
a head bop?
Yeah, like go this with is that. Good.
Do you tend to like more ocean style clubbing then, or?
Yeah. It's quite shameful.
The cheesy tunes that you can chat at the top of your voices, sort of like Crisis on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
I can't sing, but I want to sing along.
Literally.
So if you're going to play stuff I don't know, bye.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out of there.
They play some random things in Crisis.
They do.
I'm just like, can you remember that period of time when they kept playing the, what's it called, that show? The one where there was like getting like killed. That's so random. It was like a trending show on Netflix. Do you remember it? And it was like Korean, right?
Oh, Squid Game.
Squid Game. Yes. That's the name. I couldn't think of the word. And they kept playing the soundtrack of that. Like, remixed. It was so random.
It gets a bit strange. My main Crisis memories are just they'd always, in second year, play Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, okay.
So much Olivia Rodrigo.
But like she made like she's crying music. Like,
yeah, you don't good for you though. Remix.
Oh, okay.
Even Driver's License, but the remix. Everything Olivia Rodrigo they made into like club
and they
music.
Remix it the same kind of way as well. There's never like variety in how they remix these like big trending songs.
And I used to be like, have they not already played this?
Yeah.
Just because I assume
they duplicate songs all the time in one night. I'm like, this has been on. I'm not that drunk to not know.
And also, if this hasn't been on, it sounds exactly like a song I heard earlier. So can we please change this up a bit?
Literally.
Do you find Crisis is your favourite night out?
No, controversially. Yeah. I'm not. Yeah, it's like, it's okay, but I don't know.
Do you have a favourite?
I quite like Thursday Rock City.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit more chill, like, not as, like...
I've never heard anyone say Thursday on Rock City. Friday and Saturday, I've heard it quite...
Yeah.
Rebel is Friday, is it? And then Saturday, I can't remember which one's which. And I've been to one of them at some point. Problem is, I can't remember when I've been when. Nothing alcohol related. Just I'm remember. Quite a forgetful person.
My housemate is Clubs Inc. So I go there quite a lot, but I'm not.
No, I haven't been to Inc. yet, but the stairs are all I hear about.
I would not recommend.
Everyone falls down the stairs, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, they're so steep. It's so impractical.
And it's so strange that that is what a club is known for. Like, I've never been, but everyone I've ever spoken to, they're like, if you bring up Ink, they're like, oh, my friend fell down the stairs there.
Yeah.
Or they fell down the stairs. But it's
quite... Do you want to know an interesting fact about Ink?
Go on.
It used to be a theatre. That's why it's so, like, structured the way that it is.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. And it makes sense why they'd have steep stairs, because you're trying to get up there.
You're trying to get up there.
Trying to get what up to the high bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair play. I mean, you know, got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Apparently, Ocean used to be a ballroom.
Ooh.
So it used to be a dancing place back in the day. I don't know, like 20s or 30s or something. Mm. And it's always been a dancing location. It was a dance hall or ballroom or whatever they called it at that point.
I've never been to Ocean.
No. Well, you should.
Yeah, I should. I should. I'm gonna.
Yeah, it will happen. It has to happen. Yeah. It's a rite of passage.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
Have you enjoyed living in Nottingham? Has it been a lot very different from being at home?
Yeah, definitely.
A lot bigger, a lot smaller, or just...
Smaller, I think. I think they're quite similar in some ways because I'm from Leeds. But like Nottingham seems to be like a smaller version of Leeds, basically.
It does always feel a bit like a town.
Yeah,
as
it does.
As much as it is a city, it's the biggest place I've ever lived.
Yeah.
But it still feels like a town.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
I haven't spent much time in Leeds. I went there for an afternoon, but it was... I remember getting off the train and thinking, I feel like I'm in London.
Oh, it's so busy.
Yeah. Have you never been The buildings are just tall. Because my sister and I went to the uni, so we got off the train station and we walked to the uni. So I don't know if that tells you
where we were.
I know. It was a lovely walk there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was just that sort of row, and there were big buildings and it was like wide streets.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, London? Because I'm very used to very small. I was, you know, I've lived in villages most of my life kind of thing. Well, that's really interesting that you're... I quite like talking to people who are like, Nottingham's a downsize to them.
Yeah, I feel like I need to explore like Nottingham more like kind of for its bars and like places like that, because it's kind of just been clubs, which is...
You do a lot of the student things,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, like I want to go to like a... I went to like a nice cocktail bar though. It's... What's it called? You know the Vietnamese cafe where they do like really nice coffees?
No.
Nah.
It's but I wish I did. I am a coffee girl.
They have like cloud coffees. They're great. But basically, attached to this cafe, they have like a really, really fancy cocktail bar.
Ooh.
And I went in there and that was really nice. But I want to do more things like that. But
more
budget isn't allowing it.
That is the problem. Yeah. I really want to spend a lot of time like exploring the city and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a student on a student budget with a student timetable. Only so much I can do. Do you have a go-to coffee location? Are you a coffee drinker? Well, that should
be
the first question.
I'm a huge coffee drinker.
What's your go-to order?
Well, it switches up. At the minute, I'm really into like a dirty chai latte.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
That was my drink of first year.
So good.
my friend in first year, she introduced me to a chai latte. Never heard of one. And we would go to, back when it was a Starbucks next to, because I live near Jubilee, I was not on catered on-campus accommodation, and we just would go to the Starbucks and get a dirty chai like every other day, and it was great.
It's really ridiculous because I will not ever say, can I have a dirty chai latte? I don't know why.
No.
It's just a rational fear. I always say, please can I have a chai latte with a shot of espresso?
Yes. I would never call it a dirty chai because it just feels wrong.
I once did it and she was like, huh? So I was like, I'm never doing
never
it again.
Never again. Are you a normal milk drinker?
I'm not. I drink soy milk usually because they have it most places.
And most of the time they'll just substitute that for free as well. You don't
have
to pay. Oat milk you just always have to pay for, and it is the bane of my existence.
Yeah. Oat milk is great.
And I would go soy, but I'm allergic to soy milk.
Oh. So what do you, almond?
I just go oat. I do go oat. Man, I just sadly pay that extra 30-40-50p
yeah,
and just get really upset inside. So but yeah, as I say, so dirty chai is the go-to. Is there a certain place that you're getting it from? at the minute.
I love 200 degree coffee. Yeah. It's so great.
It's amazing.
But like they have it everywhere now. Like that's that they what's the word? Like they kind of sell it to all the different chains.
Yeah, and franchise. It's a franchise now.
Yeah, yeah. And like you always see like we're sponsored by 200 degree coffee.
We serve 200. Yeah. Hardly serve it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I like this place.
Yeah, but it does still feel like a very Nottingham thing because it's a Nottingham brand.
Yeah, but then I think they do have it in other cities as well. I think they have it in Leeds, but I've never been.
No.
But yeah, it's cool that it started in Nottingham.
It's nice that it is every coffee shop in Nottingham that isn't Starbucks, Costa, Cafe Nero, you know, those sorts. It is. I know what coffee I'm getting because it's all the same.
Yeah.
But it's nice and consistent then.
Yeah, it is. It's
I'm
nice.
I'm a big fan of theirs. Do you have any sort of favourite places to be? I don't know, we said favourite coffee shops, but favourite, we can expand that to places either on campus or in the city or wherever. Wherever in Nottingham.
Good question, but I don't know the answer.
we can, you know, we'll close it down to on campus. What's your favourite on campus spot?
I don't know whether it's my favourite. I really love Impact Office, firstly, because no one really goes in there. But then I spend a lot of my time in George Green, and it's definitely not my favourite, but I feel like I have to mention it because it's like my place. Did get stuck in the elevator there.
I did see that. Yeah. That sounded dramatic.
Yeah, and like it was like so not far from the ground. Like if the doors were open, we could have jumped out.
Oh, that's so annoying because then it feels almost pointless.
Yeah, and everyone was like, when they was walking past looking, like, what are you doing in there? I'm just stuck actually.
Sorry guys.
Yeah. So yeah, George Green. I do like Portland Coffee. I think it's really lovely. We've
it's
got a nice good coffee it. Shop.
It's good in it. Do you have a where is the religion theology building?
It's Humanities.
Okay, so it's down by the history buildings.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's such a pain to get to.
Lenton Grove, is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. But it's like the right opposite end.
Yeah.
Of campus to me, which is really annoying.
Because if you're living in Lenton, it's the other side. See, whereas that's right next. I live in Beeston, so that's I walk past it almost every day.
Yeah, I envy you. My life would be a lot easier.
In fact, I often end up having to walk up the hill or go to the science hub part.
Yeah, so we've got the same issue, but opposite
the wrong way around. Yeah, and I do think you're never gonna be happy. You're never gonna figure out a good place to be because campus is a circle and. The Portland building's in the centre.
Yeah.
So it's always I have to go up that hill anyway, as much as I try and avoid it.
Yeah.
Speaking kind of a little bit of your degree, what's your favourite module you've done?
Probably the philosophy of Islam. That was a really cool module.
Really interesting one, was it? Did you know a lot about it before and it's like...
Nothing.
So it's just like a new kind of discovery.
Yeah.
That's quite fun.
Yeah.
A lot of essays, I'm guessing you do.
All the time.
Do you ever get exams or is it an essay?
No, I don't. I actually had to double check the other day, like, why have I not had an exam yet? And they actually said, like, yeah, we got rid of them.
So yeah, like, over COVID, a lot of the humanities subjects just said, you know what, it makes sense just to do essays. It doesn't make sense to have timed exams.
No, and it doesn't. Do you have exams?
I do. I'm pretty much only exams.
Oh. Have you had many, like, in January?
I had three. Had a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Are you done now then?
I'm done.
Yay.
It was last week. So it was nice I get a week off, but it was 3 days in a row.
Oh.
So it was like 3 9 a.m.s in a row and I was like, oh no. I'm not
It's
used
so
to this.
Annoying. Like they're just like, here you go.
Like and they didn't think about it. Last year, my January exams were also annoying because I had sort of like Monday, Wednesday, Friday 1 week, and then Friday afternoon the next week. And that exam, I did not need an extra week to like revise for. If anything, it was the ones the first week I needed the time on. And it was the last exam. So then I had 2 days off before semester two started. I was stressed. Let's just leave it at that. It was a stressful time for me.
I can imagine. Gosh.
What would you say would be your specialist subject if you're ongoing on Mastermind or something like that? That's the big question.
Probably, let me think that. I'm going to give you an answer.
I will push you for an answer. And I want it, I'd love it if it's as random and as niche and something I'd never guess as possible. Because you probably have music taste where you know quite a lot about it. But that's boring.
It is boring.
Unless it's a really interesting artist that I wouldn't guess. Like if, I don't know, you said Lizzo. I love Lizzo and I know everything about Lizzo, I'd be like, fair enough.
What, is it something that I have to know everything about?
Not necessarily, no, but you'd be lot. Comfortable answering questions on a national TV show.
Okay. I did, at A-level, I did a lot on like Henry VIII. I'd have a good stab at that kind of period.
Yeah.
I think that's a very interesting, like the Reformation of the church and like even like the Renaissance period. Like
you go for a history stuff.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That is also interesting and random that I wouldn't have guessed. So you've fit the brief.
Yay.
Because I don't want to ask people that and then they just tell me the most obvious thing that they enjoy and I'm like, well, okay, cool. Thanks, I guess. Again, a bit random. We're kind of going for my questions I'm asking everyone, so these might kind of jot around a little bit at this point.
Is this like reflected of your brain when you was writing? It was just like chaotic.
It was a little bit. The list has just kind of gone from, oh, I thought of this, I should add it to my list. Yeah. There's no order to it. But there are a couple questions that I'm making sure I am asking everyone, and that is one of them. That is one of the big ones I like asking. And I'm gonna hit you with another one of those.
Go on.
Not physically, metaphorically. Metaphorically hit you. What would you say has been your proudest achievement so far in your life? It can be a deep answer, it can be a very shallow answer. I am happy either which way.
I managed to do, like, my granddad always says, I did like a gap year in my first year of uni at the same time. I think that's pretty, because I was just traveling all last year.
Oh,
I was going everywhere. Like, I was just, if there was a cheap flight, I was on it.
That's quite fun.
So I think that I'm pretty proud of that, because like I was obviously 18 and I
want to travel, but I also want to go to uni.
Yeah.
Where was some of the good places you went?
I traveled around Italy and then I did Greece because my granddad lives in Greece. And then where else did I do? I went to Portugal. So I did like a couple of different places.
Yeah. Did you have a standout place or anywhere you'd want to go back to?
I really loved Venice because, like, I think I loved it so much because it's exactly like the photos. I don't know if you've been, but
no,
it's like,
I haven't.
It's exactly like, you know, some places you're like, oh, like, there's like places.
It's like they showed you only the top half, they didn't show you the bottom bit, yeah.
But like, every single, like, even TikTok I've seen of Venice is exactly what it's like. So I was very impressed by it, yeah.
Met expectations, which is really good.
It was.
It's what you need.
Yeah,
that's quite nice. I haven't been to Venice. I've been to Rome and Milan, and I thoroughly enjoyed both.
What's Milan like? Because I haven't been there.
Milan was lovely. Mm. It's actually a bit of a random place we went and visited, but it was cheap flights, you know. Family of six, we take the cheap flights. It is very much, it feels fancy.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like I'm in a history book a bit.
Yeah.
It feels like almost a caricature of what Rome is supposed to be with all the history and stuff. It's got a lot of history and it's just really pretty. Mm-hmm. It's like someone has put the time into designing all these buildings in a lot of the areas. I really do recommend it. You don't need to spend long there, but it's quite nice to just walk around a bit.
Milan's interesting, isn't it? Because it's like so historical and like the architecture's beautiful, but then it's like juxtaposed with this like kind of designer clothes, like Fashion Week vibe, which like obviously it's never been like that for like ever. So,
no,
like,
but there are all the very expensive like fashion shops around, so you can kind of walk through them and be like, wow. I am a fashion person.
And they're like Dior everything. They'll put it on like coffees and like everything.
I will say there's that, and then there's the pictures of me in Milan with my just wearing a pair of jeans and a very yellow jumper.
An unnecessarily yellow
that was not right for my skin tone. Jumper. So I've got some lovely pictures of just like beautiful like architecture and stuff and like fancy shops. And then there's me. I can't even describe it other than it's yellow. Very in your face yellow, yeah. Interesting.
Was it hot when you went?
I went in October time, so it wasn't too bad, hence the jump was okay. But I went to Rome in the middle of August when it was 40 degrees every day.
Oh, I did that.
And Rome is stuffy anyway.
It's horrible. When it's hot, it's not fun.
It was a bit of a pain, but it was lovely and I really enjoyed it. And I liked the Magnum shop.
The Magnum shop.
Yeah, you can go and get, you know, the ice creams. Mm. Yeah, so you can go and they have it, that sort of ice cream on a stick, and then you pick what chocolate you want, you pick what toppings you want, and they make it all like for you in front of you. Very much put whatever you want on it, and it was so much fun. I loved it because I'm a big fan of Magnums, and
that sounds really cool. Yeah. Very Italian.
I know. I don't know know why they have it. I don't know if Magnum is Italian. I have no idea.
I'm assuming so. Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they have shops like that elsewhere. Rome's obviously a big place, but
yeah. Who's to say?
I don't know. Do you have anywhere else kind of on the bucket list to go?
Like, big bucket list. I really, really want to go to Sri Lanka. That's like my big place I want to go.
How come Sri Lanka?
I don't know. I think I always get these things like, same with New Zealand. I must have watched like a documentary when I was young and it's just stuck in my head. And I'm like, I am going there.
It's ingrained deep.
Yeah. But then like kind of on a lower scale. I really want to go to Germany. I really want to go to, where else? I want to go back to Poland because like everyone on TikTok seems to be going to Krakow. And I'm not sure why, but it looks really beautiful.
Seems pretty.
So yeah, more Eastern Europe.
Yeah. Do a lot of Europe's quite a very attainable and you can just wait to get the cheap fly and go, which is quite good. Yeah. Otherwise it becomes a bit of a hassle. But I can imagine Sri Lanka will be a bit more of an investment and a bit more research into
definitely.
Going there and whatever. And I guess sorting out visas as well. Not to make it all very practical, but you know what? You need to have the practical concerns along with everything else.
Thank you.
Don't worry, I'll send you a checklist. Have you thought about the weather? Just in case.
Yeah.
That's a very nice, proudest achievement. It's very kind of abstract. Last kind of couple questions. What would you say is something very recognisable about that you wear? Because radio is such a... non-visual thing.
Mm-hmm.
How would, the die-hard Lottie fans walk around campus and go, that must be Lottie, without hearing you speak? Because your voice is rather recognisable when a lot of the student population sound a lot, have accents a lot more like mine.
Turk and Northern. probably, I always have a scarf on. I have one on right
you do,
now.
You do.
But probably... I shamelessly have an office, which isn't great.
Do you
great.
Feel better than everyone because you have an North Face?
No. I'm glad. Yeah.
Not quite. Move on.
But yeah, I bought it a while ago and you can't really just get rid of an office.
No,
can you?
No. Like... And honestly, they're very good coats. Yeah. From what I've heard, I don't have one personally. My coat just looks like it should be a North Face.
A dupe.
Yeah.
Have you seen that trend on TikTok?
Cool.
Where everyone's going around like saying dupe things.
My North Face dupe. It really feels like it. I did sit myself down almost and go, I want a North Face, but it was almost like, I want a North Face, but I don't want a North Face.
No.
So I got something that looks the same. It's just a puffer jacket, to be honest, but they've become so ingrained with...
Yeah, it's bad. Everyone has fun.
Yeah. I have to ask, what's your favourite dupe?
My favourite dupe.
My favourite dupe.
There's a lot of good makeup dupes.
There
like,
are.
NYX is a really good makeup, right? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
NYX.
I think so. That's what I would call it. So.
Yeah. So. Like the lip liners are really good. Mm. But they're more general dupes. I work at Lidl, there's a lot of dupes there for everything you can ever
Lidl
think of.
Lidl is the dupe shop.
Literally. They'll get new things in and I'm like, why are we selling this? Like, how have we got the license to sell it? Like, we had like TVs in. Like,
TVs at Lidl?
Yeah.
As much as like the middle section at Lidl, I can't remember what they call it.
Middle of Lidl.
Middle of Lidl. I'm saying that, I was like, this sounds silly, it can't be the right thing. It is. As much as they have random things there, never would have pegged a TV.
No.
I do enjoy when it's middle of winter and they're like, we're selling tents.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Barbecues and tents. I'm like, do you want to wait till the summer, guys? Just put in the... They're not going to go out of date. Just put
Literally.
It in the back.
No. I would love to like investigate a little. Because I know like they're allowed to sell things because they have like... They sell all over Europe. So they have like better like trade agreements and stuff. But it's still like something's dodgy going. I probably shouldn't be saying that as an employee. But
it's fine. We'll bleep
but like I'm just a bit
you know
like...
what we'll do, I'll bleep out the name of the shop.
that level of surprise.
And if you can figure out what shop, it's not our fault that they've got a reputation.
Exactly.
There's nothing to do with us. And I'm gonna end things unless there's anything else particular you feel like you need to get off your chest.
No, not right now.
No. I have one last question for you. What are you looking forward to?
Oh,
and again, you can take this question however you like. just right now, first thing that comes to your mind, what's keeping you excited in life?
Graduating. Fair. Getting out of this hellhole. Get me out. No, I know it's a bit of a while off, but it's not really. My mum keeps like counting down each month and I'm like, no.
It's when people keep mentioning it that I was actually second year, I felt the pressure of graduation a lot more than I did this year.
Yeah, but I'm just looking forward to being out of here. I'm done. I'm done topping out.
Fair, very fair. And just, I don't know, live adult life a bit.
Yeah. I'll probably be saying the opposite when I'm actually living adult life.
But... probably, but I am quite done with the constant stress and not... as much as people say, oh, I don't want a 9-to-5, but you can do your 9-to-5, you go home, you're done. Literally. One of my housemates is on a placement this year. She's working in Beeston though, so it works out well. And she's very much, her weekends are completely free. And I'm like, if I do something the weekend, I feel guilty I'm not doing work.
Literally.
I'm ready to be rid of the guilt and move on. I've done a lot of academics in my life. We've been doing it since we're 4 years old.
I don't think we think about that in our day-to-day life, but we've actually been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
A long
Most
time.
Most of my life is Literally. Academics. And you're excited to put that to bed.
Yeah. I'm also excited for some like heat. Yeah. Summer is just great.
Are you is that your preferred time of year?
Yeah, I think more just because it's like lighter for longer. I hate the early like darkness, I guess.
I'm fine with the cold. It's the light. It literally. Really is. And like it's got dark outside now and my brain's gone bedtime.
Yeah, literally. So. There's nothing better than like them summer nights, even in England, and just sitting around. Like it's just a simple time.
And it's like 9 o'clock and you're like, nice sunset.
Literally.
It feels natural. It feels like as it should be.
Yeah.
Until it gets a bit like, really? Already? Are you sure about that? But lovely. Yeah. Thank you for being on.
Of course.
Thank you for chatting.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lottie, so much for being on my podcast. If you've enjoyed listening to Lottie's voice, you should definitely listen to one of her many shows, particularly her daytime show called Our Tweak on the Week. And if you've enjoyed listening to my voice, make sure you check out her Instagram, Off Air on Your End, to stay up to date with all the episodes coming out soon.